Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, hey, I want us to go to Acts chapter 28. If you're where you can get a Bible, and I just want to share a little bit with you this morning to stir us up, to encourage us. I'm actually going to be talking about shaking off discouragement. Shaking off discouragement. The founder of Chick-fil-A, this Estrut Cathy, he said this one time. He said this, how do you tell if someone needs encouragement? Then he answered that, if they're breathing. So if you are alive, you have at some time or another experienced symptoms of discouragement. And so I want to talk this morning about just shaking that off, getting that off of our life and shaking that off, and why it's important that we do shake it off. You know, sometimes pity parties feel good, but the problem is nobody else comes. It's just you. And so, you know, well, the devil comes, but, you know, I want us to just look at some things in the Word. So we're going to begin. We're going to talk about how, this is what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about how discouragement is a spiritual attack, number one. Number two, we're going to talk about how we need to walk by faith. I think you know that, but we're going to talk about some things, ways we can walk by faith or how we can walk by faith and overcome and shake off discouragement. Number three, we're going to talk about the need, why it's important that we shake it off. So we're going to talk about the spiritual attack first. Let's go to Acts chapter 28, and let's begin reading at verse 1. It says, and when they were escaped, they came, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. Now let me stop there just for a minute and kind of give you the background. This is the Apostle Paul. Now, things haven't been going well in his life at this time, in the natural, that is. I mean, he has been arrested unjustly, imprisoned in Jerusalem, and now he was put on a ship. He's being sent to Rome to appear before Caesar. So his whole life is being interrupted for no reason at all. He was falsely accused of some things that he didn't do and was arrested over that. So now he's on this ship, and they're heading towards Rome. And as they're traveling, before they began to travel, Paul had a witness of the Holy Spirit that this would not end good, that there would be much damage of the ship. And so he warned them, sirs, this is not a good time to go. You know, I just sense that there's going to be damage if we go. Well, they didn't listen to Paul. They listened to the owner of the ship, and they sailed. Well, they sailed. It was okay for a little bit, but then they hit what the Bible calls a Euroclydon, or a northeasterner, or actually they were in a hurricane. And they were in this thing for 2 solid weeks. 2 weeks in a hurricane in a ship. And so things aren't going well, but thank God an angel appeared to Paul and said, Paul, be of good cheer, for you must testify, you know, in Rome, and God's given you all those that are with you on the ship. There'll be no harm to anybody's life. You'll lose the ship, but no harm will come. So anyway, they're on this ship, and now the ship's being, you know, they've gotten close to land, and the ship is being broken up by the waves. You know, part of it's fastened in the rocks as they got closer to the land, but the back part of the ship's just being busted up by the waves. And so, you know, someone says, well, we need to kill all these prisoners. Paul wasn't the only prisoner on the ship. There were like 200 and like maybe 75, 76 prisoners on this ship. So somebody said, let's kill them all. So now they're saying they're going to kill Paul. But thank God the centurion said, no, he wanted to save Paul. He said, everybody that can just either swim to shore or get on boards or something, get to shore. And so Paul is now, he has to jump off the ship, get in the ocean, get wet. They swim to this island. They get on this island, and that's where they're at. Now, this is the circumstances he finds himself in. And you could understand, you could begin to get discouraged by these things if you allowed yourself to. But I want you to see what happened. Verse 2 says, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire, received every one because of the present rain and because of the cold, And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now, if things weren't already going bad enough, all Paul is doing is just helping. All he's doing is doing good. He's gathering sticks to put on the fire. It's raining. It's cold. They were already wet from their swim, from the boat, you know, to the shoreline. And so what little bit they could have dried out, that didn't last long, if at all, because now it's raining. And so Paul's just putting wood on the fire, and a viper comes out of the heat, and it doesn't just strike him, which is normal. Normal, they'll strike you and let go. This one hangs on. Have you ever had something, you know, you're just minding your own business, you're just living life, and something strikes you, and it hangs on? Well, you know, sometimes as Christians, if we don't watch it, we can get discouraged and think, why did God allow this to happen to me? But, you know, Jesus already warned us. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we have to understand, it doesn't mean we're doing anything wrong because a viper came out of the fire. Notice there was some heat. Hey, there was some heat. So sometimes when you do get on fire for God, you might get bit by a viper. But I want you to notice what Paul did. It says that the viper came and fastened on his hand, verse 4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man's a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, he survived the swim in the sea, yet vengeance or justice doesn't allow him to live. Isn't that something? People's opinions, man. You know what? Sometimes when you're going through a hard spot, people got opinions about it. What did you do wrong? How did you bring this on yourself? Well, you know what? People's opinions are fickle. They change. Pay no attention to them. Just keep living for God. Want you to notice what Paul did. Verse 5, this is important. He shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm. He just shook the thing off. I preached a message years ago, and I called it Fling the Thing. And it was about, it was out of this same passage about how when things fasten onto your life, you know, when attacks come, you got to learn just to fling the thing. Fling it back into the fire of God. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, howbeit, when they looked, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds, and they said that he was a god. These are the same people that said, you know, he was a criminal, he must have been a murderer, there was a reason why, this was justice for him, that he got bit by this viper. Now, all of a sudden, he's a god. You know, people are fickle. You can't pay attention to people. But I wanted to read that scripture because I wanted you to see what Paul did when this viper came. He shook the thing off. That's just like discouragement. Man, you're just going about your living life. I mean, you're just trying to serve God. You're trying to help people. You're trying to be a blessing, and all of a sudden something bites you. Discouragement tries to bite you. It tries to take you down. And, you know, sometimes people will have their opinions. Some think you're good, some think you're bad. You know, the only opinion that really matters in the long run is what God thinks about you. And so Paul shook it off into the fire. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 because I want to show you that these attacks, they're of the devil. They're not just, you know, something that happened in life just by itself. A lot of these attacks are of the devil. You know, when we're living life, we do face tribulation, but this stuff's of the devil, and we need to learn to shake it off. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul said this. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in the high places. So Paul said, our struggle is not with flesh and blood. Our struggle is with these demonic spirits. And these demonic spirits will try to discourage you. Jesus said about Satan in John 8:44, he said, when he speaks a lie, he speaks of himself, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, that verse lets us know that the devil speaks. Now, how does he speak? Well, I've never heard the voice, per se, audibly of the devil. I've never heard that I know of for sure the audible voice of God. One time before I was saved, I heard God speak to me. I don't know if it was audible or not. It seemed like it, but it might not have been. It might just have been on the inside of me. And what he told me as an unsaved person, it came to pass. But I don't know, you know, whether, you know, you've heard the audible voice of God or not, but I've never heard the audible voice of God that I know of for sure. I've never heard the audible voice of the devil. Don't care to hear his audible voice. But I tell you how he does speak. He speaks in thoughts. He speaks in suggestions. He speaks in ideas, accusations, temptations. He speaks through different ways. But Jesus said when he speaks a lie. Now, there was a time in Jesus' life where he told his disciples, he said, the Son of Man, he must be taken captive and crucified by and mistreated by the religious leaders. And when Peter heard that, he took Jesus aside from everybody and rebuked him. Now, you know, when you're rebuking Jesus, you're not having a good day. I mean, that's just not smart. But Peter rebuked Jesus, and the King James Version, it says it like this. It says, that be far from thee, Lord. This shall not happen unto thee. Well, my cross-reference in the Bible I have, it's the Cambridge Bible, where it says, be it far from thee, Lord. You know, that shall not happen to thee, or be it far from thee, is what the King James says, be it far from thee. My cross-reference says, pity yourself. Man, in other words, Peter was saying, man, you're too good a person for this to happen to. I mean, you've been serving God. You've been honoring the Father. You live righteous. You live holy. You're too good a person to have anything come against you. But Jesus looked at Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Now, that word offense means a trap. In other words, Jesus saw, he wasn't calling Peter Satan, but he realized Satan had put this suggestion in Peter's mind, and Peter spoke it to Jesus. And Jesus realized this thing that Peter said, pity yourself. He realized that is from the devil himself trying to discourage Jesus, trying to discourage him, trying to get him offended. You know, like, yeah, I am too good for anything bad to happen to me. Well, listen, Jesus recognized where the source of that was. He said, get behind me, Satan. Well, I want you to know the devil is the source of discouragement. I'm going to tell you again, the devil is the source of discouragement. I've talked about this before, getting off the devil's tape of the month club. Now, if you're younger, you might not know what that phrase means, tape of the month. But years ago, especially when, you know, back in the 80s and 90s and maybe even, well, probably 80s and just 90s, we in the church, man, we consumed cassette tapes. I mean, we didn't have CDs, but we listened to cassette tapes. We had all kinds of cassette tapes, and ministries would mail out a monthly cassette. It was called Tape of the Month Club. You could actually subscribe to it, you know, so much for a year. And each month you got mailed a different message. Well, even my own ministry, you know, we still do this today, we mail out a CD now to our partners and our friends every month of a teaching that I've done. And so you could belong to the Tape of the Month Club. And I talked about this some time ago about how the devil has a tape of the month club. He sends out a tape all the time. But here's the thing. It's the same message every month. It's always on discouragement. It's always on trying to get you to quit, trying to get you to give up, trying to get you to let go of your vision. But thank God, you and I, we have someone living on the inside of us that the Bible says greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Jesus called him the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, Jesus said he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. He won't speak of himself, but what he hears, he'll speak. So he speaks truth to us. Praise God. And listen, the word in the King James Bible, the Greek word for the Holy Spirit is paraclete or parakletos. And it has a few different meanings, but one of the main meanings of it, the King James gets it right. It calls him the Comforter. In other words, he's there to speak comfort to you. And that word paraclete or parakletos, actually one of the meanings of it is to speak cheerfully to. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, He speaks cheerfully to us. He tries to cheer us up. Well, that just makes sense. How many times did Jesus say to people or to His disciples, be of good cheer, be of good cheer? Well, that's God, folks. Discouragement's not of God. Discouragement is an attack, a spiritual attack of the devil. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Let me show you something. Let's talk about the walk of faith. Because if we're going to walk free from discouragement, we're going to have to learn to walk and live by faith. Now, let me tell you something about faith, okay? Faith, let's just talk about this. Let's talk about faith and trust. Let's talk about them both. There's a little bit of a difference there between faith and trust. They interlap, but there's a little bit of difference. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith means we trust, we believe in, we adhere to something God has said. But then there's also faith and trust in this area where sometimes we may not know what's going on, but we trust God. We trust His character. We have faith in His character, that He is good. You know, so faith is based on the promises of God. Trust maybe is more based on the character of God. We know His integrity. We know He's good to His Word. We know He's a good God, and He's a good Heavenly Father. So I want to say something to you, and I hope you get the importance of this, because this is really important. Because it, once again, we're talking about you have to walk by faith. See, the Bible tells us to walk by faith, not by sight. If you walk by faith, you will be encouraged. If you walk by what you see, you will be mostly discouraged, because there's a lot of times what we see doesn't look good. And if you're one of these people that your circumstances dictate to you whether you're going to be encouraged or discouraged, you're going to be discouraged a lot of days. You have to get beyond that, and you have to grow beyond that. You have to become a mature Christian where you're not moved by what you see. You're only moved by what God said. Now, here's what I want to say to you. If you're going to walk by faith, if you're going to live in victory, if you're going to be free from discouragement, you're going to have to be okay with not knowing everything. You're going to have to be okay with only knowing in part sometimes. You know, the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 13:12, he said, we prophesy in part and we know in part. We don't know everything. We don't see everything. There's times I'm standing for my deliverance and it comes immediately. And I thank God for that. That's what I like. I like immediate breakthrough. But then there are times I have to walk it out by faith. I don't always know why. I don't always know why sometimes some things are delayed in coming to me. I don't always know why. Sometimes I might know. If I do need to know, I trust the Lord to tell me. I mean, if I'm making some mistakes here, I trust Him that if I spend time with Him and fellowship with Him, I trust that He'll let me know. I'll end up knowing if I'm doing something wrong, but I don't dwell on that. I just trust God that, you know, things are working for my favor. So you've got to be okay in life with not knowing everything. If you're one of these people that you got to know the reason behind everything, man, you're going to be so discouraged and beat down all the time. But I've learned in my life that the secret things belong to the Lord. That which is revealed to me, that's what I'm to do. If I don't know it, it's up to God to reveal it to me if I do need to know it. But if I don't know it, I'm not worried about it. I'm not concerned about it. I'm just going to continue to walk and live by faith. And so you have to understand that not everything, you're going to know everything. Sometimes deliverance comes immediately. Sometimes it may be delayed. I don't know, but here's what I do know. Whether deliverance comes immediately, right away, or whether I have to walk it out by faith, at the end, I still end up in the same place, a place of victory. So you have to learn. You got to be okay with not knowing everything. Because if you're one of those people, I just got to know everything. I got to know why. I got to know this. Then you're going to end up being discouraged. Now let's look at what the Bible says about Jesus. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, wherefore, saying, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. So, you know, obviously we know sin is going to, it's going to hurt us in our race. It's going to slow us down. But he talked about every weight. There's weights that we carry around, weights that God doesn't want us to carry. You know, if you're going to run a race, man, you don't want a bunch of weight on you. You want to be as light as possible. So, and discouragement's one of those weights. We have to lay that aside. Look at this, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, focus on him, look at his example, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now the New King James says this, lest you be wearied and discouraged in your souls. You know, faint in your minds, when you break it down, that's exactly what it means. You're discouraged in your soul. But what I wanted you to see was this. The Bible says in verse 2 that this is what Jesus did, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Who for the joy. Think about it. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Now think about that phrase. See, I want to talk to you about that just for a little bit. Because see, a lot of people don't realize this. You know, Jesus would have rather done it some other way than have to go through the cross like he did. You find him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying. He says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. When he's talking about going to the cross. Not my will, but thy will be done. It's not that he didn't want to purchase our redemption. He did. It's not that he wanted to disobey his Father. He certainly didn't want to disobey his Father. He wanted to obey his Father. It was just the agony and all the shame of the cross that he was looking to face, going to have to face, that he said to his Father, if there's another way, can we do this some other way? But then he didn't stop. He said, not my will, yours be done. He did not allow his you know, natural will of not wanting to do something get in his way. I mean, if you know, you got to learn. You can't just let your own natural feelings and will get in the way of what you're supposed to do. If you did that, a lot of you wouldn't go to work every day. I mean, nobody feels like getting up early in the morning. I mean, you know, there may be a few of you that do, but most people would rather sleep in. And so, you can't live that way. You can't operate your life like that. And people that do, they come to poverty. But here's what Jesus did. He didn't focus on what was right in front of him. See, at one point there in Gethsemane, the cross was right in front of him. Right in front of him. And so, but he didn't focus on the cross. He focused on what was on the other side of the cross. He focused on the joy that was set before him. See, Jesus knew on the other side of that cross, there was extreme joy, deliverance for all mankind, sons and daughters of God being born into the kingdom of God. Praise God. He knew that he was going to receive many brethren. He was going to be the firstborn of many brethren. So he didn't focus on what was right in front of him. He looked to what was on the other side of it. Have you ever, you know, like you can have something in like in the sanctuary doors are over here to the right. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know how tall they are. They're, I don't know, 9 feet tall, maybe 10 feet tall. I'm not sure. But, you know, and my hand is like maybe 6-7 inches, maybe. But, you know, I can put my hand like that and put it in front of those doors and just almost basically make those doors disappear. Why? Because it's not that they're actually bigger than the doors. It's just my focus is on the hand. See, that's the way life can be. It's not that your problem's bigger than your redemption. It's not that your problem's bigger than the blessing. It's not that your problem's bigger than God's Word. It's that what you're focusing on when you're looking at it like that and you're just got it up close and you're thinking about it and you're staring at it, it looks bigger. It's just not. See, God told Moses, he said, go to the Israelites, and this is in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 through 9. God told Moses, he said, you go to the children of Israel, they were in bondage in Egypt. He said, you go to them, you tell them that I am their God, and I'm going to deliver them, I'm going to redeem them with a great outstretched arm. I'm going to be their God. I'm going to bring them into the promised land. He began to talk about all the blessings that he was going to do for the children of Israel. Now, they're still in bondage, but God sent Moses to tell them, this is what I'm going to do for you. So the Bible says Moses went and told them that, but it says they hearkened not for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. In other words, they were so discouraged, they wouldn't hear good news. See, I have written in my Bible, let me read it to you, actually, so I get it right. I have it written, and you don't need to turn there. I just want to read to you what I have written in my Bible about that passage. This is what I have written. Don't let your trouble speak louder than God's Word. Don't let your trouble speak louder than God's Word. It's so easy to do that, you know, because you got it right there in front of you. You need to knock that down, shake off discouragement, and look at what God has already done, and look at what He's doing in the earth. Look at what He's already done for you. Go with me to Psalm 78. I want to show you a scripture in Psalm 78 as we talk about walking by faith so that we're not living in a place of discouragement. Discouragement comes to all of us. I'm not immune to it, but all of us face discouragement. Now, there was a scripture that I was going to read in Ephesians, but I missed that, but we won't go to that. But you go ahead and go to Psalm 78. Go ahead and go there. But let me read you this scripture in Ephesians chapter. We were in Ephesians chapter 6. I meant to read another verse there and didn't do it. But Ephesians 6:18 says this, you know, where Paul said, we wrestle not against principality, powers, rulers of darkness, world, and so forth, in verse 12 of Ephesians 6, talking about our warfare, our wrestling is with demonic spirits. In verse 18 of that same chapter, Ephesians 6, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now notice this, he said, pray always with all prayer, supplication, in the Spirit. Now, here's the part I want you to get. Watching thereunto, keeping alert, looking out, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What was he saying? He's saying, keep an eye out on the other saints, like a local body like we have. Keep an eye out on the other saints. Now, what does that mean? Go get in their business, ask them, you know, call them up, how you doing all the time? Well, not necessarily. I mean, yeah, it's okay to check on people, sure. But, you know, it's not like getting in their business. But there are times you can tell somebody's discouraged. You can see it on their face. Or there are times that the Holy Spirit alerts you to people that people are discouraged. Paul said, be praying in view of that. Be praying in mind that there's people that the devil tries to discourage. He's trying to knock them out of the race. And be praying for them. And believe me, it helps. I face discouragement. I'm the pastor of the church. I know if I face it, you know, you face it. Amen, because we're all in the same fight together. I've faced discouragement, but I've also known that, you know, I've had days where, the devil's attacking. I mean, dark clouds, gloomy, you know, he's attacking you. And then the next day, all of a sudden, it breaks off, or before the day's over, it's all broken off. And I realize, man, God spoke to somebody. Hallelujah. I don't know who it was, but he spoke to somebody to pray for me, and they helped me out. Glory to God. We all need help. We all need one another. And I've even had, you know, before, like friends, minister friends, text me, you're on my heart praying for you today. I'm thinking, thank God. Hallelujah. Well, see, God, they were watching. They were doing like Paul said. They were watching and praying for all saints. So we have to keep one another encouraged. We got to look out for each other. Amen. Now, Psalm 78, let's go there. And verse 40, Psalm 78, 40. It says in verse 40, how often did they, this is talking about the children of Israel, how often did they provoke him, God, that is, in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Think about that. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They turned back. And here's why. Verse 42. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. You know, sometimes you just got to remember what God has done. Look at Psalm 77. Back up, previous Psalm, 77, verse 11. David said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. So David's saying, I'm going to remember the works of God. I'm going to remember what he's done. I'm going to talk about them. You don't need to turn here, but let me read it to you. Psalm 11:2 says, the works of the Lord are great, sought out. Now, the New King James says it this way, and I like this better. The works of the Lord are great. They're studied by all those that have pleasure therein. In other words, and this is just a few scriptures, by the way. There's other scriptures that let us know we're supposed to remember what God has done for us. Hallelujah! I've often said this. I mean, Thanksgiving is a great tool to break off discouragement. You know, you may have an area in your life that's not going great right now, but think about what God has done. Think about how He saved you. You know, I look back on my life and the way I was living, I could have easily died in my sin. Living the way I was living before I met Jesus Christ, I was living a dangerous life. I had friends that died. I could have died. But then there's times I'll think about, you know, God came and He visited me and He began to deal with me. He began to reveal Himself to me. He delivered me. He saved me. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I mean, if He doesn't do anything else for me, the fact that I'm not going to hell or I didn't go to hell, I got something to shout about all throughout eternity. Hallelujah. I hope you're saying amen right now, because that's really good. You know, I know God's going to, He's already done things for me through His covenant, but you understand what I'm talking. If He didn't do anything else, man, I got enough to shout about until Jesus comes back all throughout eternity. So sometimes you got to just remind yourself about the victories you've had. They'll encourage you. That's what Paul told Timothy about prophecies. And he told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, I think it was verse 19 or verse 18, He said, fight a good warfare with the prophecies which went on before you. Fight with those things. Well, why would you have to fight with them? Because the devil tried to discourage you that things aren't going to come to pass. But then you remember, wait a minute, look what God has done. Hey, man, you say, well, I can't think of anything He's done for me. Oh, yeah, if you've been saved, He's done something for you. Besides, if you can't think of anything like that, just read the Bible. The Bible talked about studying out His works, His great works. Hey, He delivered Israel. Hey, man, look at all the people Jesus healed. Look at all the things He did. Here's the good thing. If Jesus healed one person, He'll heal them all. If Jesus delivered one person, He'll deliver them all. It's for everybody. Hallelujah. Now, I want to close out this morning. I hope you got something out of this. Just kind of an exhortation, a stirring you up. Shake off that discouragement. Don't live with that. We all experience it. There's no shame in experiencing an attack of discouragement, but don't live there. Don't camp out there. Don't stay there. Shake that thing off. Man, get your prophecies out. If you've had prophecies, get those out. Read those things. We had someone in our church, and I'll leave them unnamed because I don't have permission to tell this. I'm sure they probably would give it to me. But anyway, it was a few weeks ago. They were in the prayer line. I think I'd called out an issue about backs. I think there was back problems. And the Lord gave them a prophetic word. And then 2 weeks later, they sent me it was an email. And they said, Pastor, they were telling me, Pastor, I want to let you know what happened. You know, you gave me that word, and you had that word for backs, and you prayed for me. And they said, I let that word sit for 2 weeks. And said, after 2 weeks, I said, I'm going to pick that thing up. Thank God. They picked it up. They fought with it. And this person told me, praise God, they said, all the pain in my back left. And said, this is the first time I've been without pain for 5 years. Think about that. 5 years of back pain? Don't know if you've ever had back pain before. I have. It's terrible. 5 years of it. But they picked up the word of the Lord. They fought with it, and they were delivered. Hallelujah. Praise God. We gotta just remember what God has done for us, what He is doing. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah chapter 42. You say, Pastor, that's not as easy as it sounds. No, you got to get that big hand or even your thumb, and your thumb will cover up. You know, my thumb alone will cover up a lot of things in this sanctuary. Especially, you know, you close the one eye, you know. It's just like it's bigger than everything. You have to get it out. You got to knock it down. You got to do like Paul did with that viper. Shake it off into the fire. shake that thing off. Say, no, I'm not looking at you. I'm not focusing on you. I'm going to look on the other side of that. I'm going to look at what my victory looks like. Praise God. You got to shake it off. That. Listen now. I understand. Somebody says, well, I just don't feel like doing it. That's the difference between mature people and immature people. Immature people only do what they feel like doing. Mature people do what they're supposed to do. I hope you get that. There's a lot in the natural, a lot of immature people. They just don't live life right. They don't take responsibility. They don't do the things they're supposed to do. They don't get up and go to work every day like normal, mature people do. They want the government to take care of them. They want people to take care of them. But, you know, mature people get up and do what's right, even though they don't feel like doing it. I do a lot of things, and I know you do too. I don't feel like doing things, but they need to be done. And that's the difference between immature people and mature people. If you're going to be a mature believer, you're going to have to do things that you don't necessarily feel like doing. And sometimes you don't feel like, you know, casting off that discouragement. You might feel like wallowing in it for a while. You might feel like feeling sorry for yourself. But I can guarantee you're going nowhere when you do that. You have to be mature and cast that down and begin to praise God, begin to thank God, put on the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness, and begin to remind yourself of what God's done for you in the past and what He's done for you in redemption and what He's going to do yet. Amen. Isaiah 42, let's close here. This is a prophetic scripture about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to begin reading verse 1, Isaiah 42. It says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break." That's really good. In other words, you know, a reed's like a stalk of grass. Sometimes you'll see those marshy grasses sometimes by water. And it's just simply saying, if one of those gets bruised, you know, you've ever seen a flower stem that gets kind of bent in the middle and the flower's bent over. You know, the only thing it looks like you can do is just break it off, you know. But it says Jesus won't do that. If you're wilted, man, if you're bent over, if you're bruised, He won't break you. And the smoking flax will He not quench. In other words, you know, the wick that's just smoking, the fire's gone out. He won't go ahead and snuff it all the way out. Man, He'll blow on it till they get the fire going again. So God's on your side, man. He wants you to ignite. He wants you to take off. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Verse 4, He shall not fail nor be discouraged. This is talking about Jesus. He will not fail nor be discouraged till He have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for His law. What is this telling us? It's saying Jesus had a job to do. He had the will of the Father to accomplish when He came to this earth. Prepared me. God actually had an assignment for Jesus. But it says Jesus would not be discouraged until He got the job done. Now, do you think discouragement came at Jesus? Sure it did. The Bible said He was tempted in all points like as we are. But He shook it off. He refused it. He knew if He was going to complete His mission, He couldn't let discouragement lodge in His life. Hear the way I say that? Lodge there. No, He cast it off. Paul said the same thing in Acts 20. He said, I know that when I go to Jerusalem, that bonds and afflictions wait me, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus. In other words, Paul said, if I'm going to finish my course, I can't let discouragement get in. I've got to have the joy of the Lord. That's my strength. David, the same thing. You know, when he came to Ziklag and the city had been burnt. It was his hometown. All the children, the women had been taken captive. David's two wives had been taken captive. The Bible says they all lifted up their voice and wept till they had no more power to weep. That's discouragement. But I'm glad David didn't stop there. It said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. and he pursued after the enemy and recovered everything back. What if he'd have stayed discouraged? He wouldn't have completed the mission. God told Moses about Joshua. Joshua will cause the people to inherit the land. Go encourage them. And there's a scripture as we close out in Galatians chapter 6, 9. Very famous scripture. We shall reap in due season if we faint not. If we get discouraged. If we don't let discouragement beat us, we'll end up reaping the blessing of God. You just got to keep going. Hallelujah. And just keep going. I've told this before. I'll close with this. I'm trying to think which minister it was that told this. He said we were, I can't remember right now, but he said we were around Dr. Summerall one day, me and some other young ministers. You know, Dr. Summerall at this time was an older man who'd accomplished much in ministry, preached all over the world, seen mighty miracles and things from God. They asked Dr. Summerall, this great man of God, they said, Dr. Summerall, what is the secret of your great success? This minister, I would tell you who the minister was if I could remember right now. I just heard or saw him tell it again the other day, but I can't remember who it was now. This minister said, Dr. Summerall didn't even hesitate when they asked him, what is your great success? What is your great secret? He barked back, I didn't quit. That was it. I didn't quit. Well, why would anybody quit? Well, the only reason you quit is if you were discouraged. What do you mean he didn't quit? Well, he was saying, discouragement came at me like it comes at everybody else. But I didn't quit. I didn't focus on that. I just kept going. I want to encourage you, amen, this morning. Shake it off. If you're experiencing discouragement, I've experienced it. It's a spiritual attack. You need to shake the thing off in the fire in the name of Jesus. Amen. And brothers and sisters, you need to be praying for people. If you see somebody or God puts somebody on your heart to pray for them, don't be so busy you don't have time to do that. Listen, be sensitive, because you may pray that thing off of them. I know people prayed it off of me. I'm convinced of that. I know that's happened, that people have prayed it off of me before. Thank God for it. Well, I'm going to pray it off for you this morning. If you're facing it, I'm going to pray it off for you this morning. Glory to God. Why? Because it's a demonic attack. It's not just something in the natural. It's a demonic attack. And so we're going to deal with it today. Are you ready before we go? We're going to pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everybody watching this live stream this morning, everybody that might be facing discouragement in any way, shape, or form. We know that's the devil. He's a liar. Jesus said he is. He's the father of it. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak discouragement. He speaks cheerfully to us. So those voices of discouragement, doom, and gloom are all the voices of the devil. And so we rebuke this in the name of Jesus Christ and command discouragement to leave every person watching this live stream this morning. And we command that to go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We remember the good things you did, you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do, hallelujah, in our lives. We can point back to victories. We can point back to what you've already done. And know, every deliverance you've ever done in our life, every deliverance you've ever done in the Bible, you did it there, you'll do it again. That's what the Scripture teaches. Those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might have hope and comfort through that. That we might see what you did for Daniel. We might see what you did for David. We might see what you did for these men and women of God in the Bible and realize you'll do the same thing for us today. So we thank you. With you, we cannot be defeated. And we make the choice. We will not quit. So in Jesus' name, we are free from discouragement. We thank you for it. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.